Savvy listeners, and welcome to episode 117 of the Savvy Girls podcast. This is Deborah, and I'm back on the show after a little bit of a break, and I am podcasting to you from New York, New York.
This is Melanie, and I am still on the show. No break for me. And I, too, am podcasting from New York, New York.
Since it's been a little while since I've chatted with you, I have a lot of knitting to talk about. I have my Ravelennix plans to chat about. I also have some 2014 reorganization going on, and so much more for me. Oh yes, and I went to Italy, so I'm going to tell you all about that stuff.
And I guess I have knitting things to talk about too. We're going to do a quick chit-chat about the swap petition, and I also visited Vogue Knitting Live here in New York, and I will tell you all about that. And there are things. We'll think of something.
We'll fill the episode. So, in the meantime, take your knitting needles.
Take your sticks.
Or your knitting sticks, as Melanie calls them. Start your swatch in preparation for your Ravelennix participation. And enjoy this episode.
Enjoy the show. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. Well, my goodness, last time I spoke to you, I had just finished my Ease sweater, which was a sweater by Alicia Plummer. And that feels like ages ago, which I suppose it was.
It was mid-December.
Oh my goodness,
early December.
I've knit two and three-quarter sweaters since then.
I have been on a sweater knitting kick, and my goodness, it's been going well. And I've actually been on a knitting sweater out of Cascade 220 kick. So let me tell you the 2.5 sweaters that I've knit since we last spoke, and then I'll give you a little bit of update on some other things. So I finished the tourist sweater, and the tourist sweater is by Hoki Locatelli.
Because you were a tourist.
I guess so. And it is a funnel neck sweater. I think it's called funnel neck. It's a cowl or perhaps a turtleneck sweater with a kangaroo pocket. And it's called a tunic on the pattern page, but I frankly just think it's a pullover. And there are four buttons going down either side of the kangaroo pocket. It is a raglan style top down, and I made a couple little alterations to the pattern. I fiddled with the numbers a little bit, so I knit raglan increases a little bit larger than the pattern called for. I also shortened the stockinette portion of the body. I was finding that in the images that it was hitting people at the wrong spot, so it was hitting people at the widest part of their hips, and I find that for me the widest part is either my hips or saddlebags, I suppose, if you call it. So I didn't want it to hit there.
You don't have saddlebags. If you do, I have bigger ones.
Not really, we're a different shape.
Good point.
But anyway, so I made it a little shorter. I did do a trick on there that I wanted to tell you about, and I just assumed that everybody did this, but I guess not. So I shared it on the Ravelry group, and now I'm just going to share it with you. There's this trick that I used on my tourist sweater, but I also use it anytime I have a turned hem. So let me just explain it to you in case that, in case you don't already use it. I knit until the point where the hem or the kangaroo pocket starts. So let's talk about the hem first. So I knit until where the part where the hem starts. And then I insert a second circular needle through the stitches on that row. I leave that second needle with the cord still through the stitches, hanging at the back of my work. And then I knit the length of the hem for, let's say, 2 inches. I knit my purl row or my turning row. And then I knit the next 2 inches. And that's the portion of the knitting that's folded up behind your work. And then instead of binding off and sewing the hem at the back of my work like most patterns call for, I just fold the hem into place and then I do a 3-needle bind off using the needle that I left hanging and the working needle with the live stitches. So I also used this hanging needle trick when I did this kangaroo pocket. Let's just say, and this is not the right number, but let's say I started on row 75. And at that point, I need to start having 2 layers of knitting, one for the pocket and then one for the sweater body. The typical way, and I think the way the pattern called for me to do it, is to knit the pocket first or knit the body first and then go back and pick up stitches for the second. For, let's say, you knit the body first and then you go back and you pick up your kangaroo pocket stitches and then you knit those. But what I did is instead, at that point, on row 75 or whatever row it is, I ran a second needle through the stitches that would make the kangaroo pocket. And then I knit the body of the sweater with the needle going through the stitches that I would pick up for the kangaroo pocket. I left that needle hanging in front. And then when I finished knitting the body, I left that needle hanging with the live stitches. I left that at the bottom. Then I went back and knit the stitches that were being held with the second needle. And then I knit the kangaroo pocket. And then when it got time to join them together, I just did a three needle bind off, or I knit the two rows together. I think for this pattern in particular, I didn't bind off, but I knit, let's say, a three needle row of stitches. And then I continued to the ribbing and I finished the sweater. So that to me is the big trick to share after my tourist sweater. I've been wearing my tourist sweater. I love it. I've been wearing it tons. I've also been wearing my Ease tons, which was the sweater I finished last we spoke. And there have been other sweaters, so let me move on to tell you about those. All right, so the other pattern that I knit was Spindrift by Cecily Glowick MacDonald. And this pattern it's an open cardigan with patch pockets on the front, a wide collar, and then a panel down the back with a textured pattern. I thought I would like this sweater better than I do, to tell you the truth. I find that it falls off my shoulders. It's a raglan, top-down raglan, but then the majority of the front of the sweater is taken up with this wide collar that goes all the way down the front, all the way around, and then all the way around your neck, and then all the way back down. And it's done out of garter stitch, and I find that the garter stitch has too much stretch, so I go to close the sweater, and I take the right hand, and I take the left-hand side, and I try to cross them one in front of the other, and there's so much stretch in the garter stitch that only the portion that I'm holding on to physically crosses, and the rest of it doesn't follow. So those stuff, it's not like I can just kind of wrap myself in it. I have to wrap the top of myself, and then I reach down and wrap at my waist, and I find it's a little bit awkward.
Is that an ease issue, or how would you put that in knitting terms?
I think the issue is that the garter stitch, there's too much stretch in the garter stitch. I probably... If I were to knit this again, I would probably do it in a firmer stitch, maybe something like maybe seed stitch, so that it's firmer. Also, the pattern asked for you to knit the front portion in a larger needle size. So not only is it a stretchy fabric, but it's also a fabric it's a looser fabric. So it looks good in the picture, but it's a little less usable than I wanted. So I've started wearing it with a large elastic, those large elastic belts with a clip in front.
Which you made yourself.
Yes, I've made myself a few of those belts where I just buy the clip portion of the belt and then I buy the fancy elastic and then I just sort of sew that up. One thing that I might do, because I find that it tends to fall off my shoulders, and also I think it's also due to the amount of stretch in the fabric. It's a fairly loose gauge as it is. I think I might do a crochet chain right across. So crochet into the stitches, but going across from one shoulder across the back to the other shoulder to kind of pull it in and hold it a little bit firmer. I haven't done that yet, but I think that'll help resolve that problem.
Do you know how to crochet?
I know how to do a single crochet chain.
Oh, wow.
Just like one loop inside the other. Not much beyond that. Really nothing beyond that. That was my Spindrift cardigan. And again, I knit that out of Cascade 220. I've been on a Cascade 220 kick. I think one of the reasons I keep knitting sweaters out of that yarn is because I don't really have to swatch anymore. I can just look at my previous sweaters and measure my gauge and then do a little math. And then I know exactly what size to make in stock and knit stitch. But that brings me to the cardigan that I'm currently working on, which is Beacon Hill. Now, Beacon Hill is a pattern by Jane Richmond, and it was published in the ebook Cascadia, which is a book that is published by Cooperative Press, and the book was sent to us for review. This is the only pattern that I've done in the book. This pattern in particular caught my attention. I fell in love with it. So this had to be the next pattern to knit. And this one is very neat. Again, it's a top-down raglan. And again, I'm knitting it in a different color of Cascade 220. But it's almost a grandfather-style cardigan, top-down raglan with ribbing at the bottom, ribbing at the wrists, and kind of a substantial button band. And I think I'll put on some leather buttons or something to give it that look. What's special about this in particular is that there's a very substantial cozy collar, and the collar is folded in half and then seamed, so it's actually a double thickness collar. at least, or it might end up being a four thickness collar by the time you make the collar and then you flip the collar over, right? Because you usually wear your collar flipped, so it might be four thickness. So it gives it a lot of height and a lot of pillowiness. But also what's wonderful about the sweater is the stitch pattern. It is not cables, but it twists stitch in a way, and the not cable part makes me very happy. Because, as I've said before, I find cables a little too fiddly for me. But this is, you twist stitches going right, you twist stitches going left, and it's a, one, two, three. I think it's an eight stitch pattern, or an eight row pattern. But essentially, it creates almost these dewdrop, this little drop pattern that goes over the whole sweater.
It tends to do it without adding bulk either, because I know when I made those socks out of the hexagon pattern, which isn't that different looking. I
think the hexagon pattern uses slipped stitches to give it a hexagon shape.
It does, but it added so much bulk to my already ankles.
Bulky.
Ankle, thanks, sister. Yes. But this doesn't seem to add any bulk at all.
Yeah, well, I will see, I guess, in the end. I'm a little bit nervous. I swatched. I picked the right size. It's supposed to be worn with 2 inches of negative ease. I'm very concerned this is going to end up being too small on me. But I suppose if it's too small, I'll try it. This is the kind of stitch pattern that it grows substantially when you block it. The thing is, I've already blocked it, and I'm still concerned about it being a little bit too small, so I might have to be a little more aggressive in my blocking, and if that doesn't work, then I might very well have to find a new home for it. But we're not there yet at all. Anyway, so I'm just working. I've done the button bands, I've done the whole body of the cardigan, and at this point I'm just working on the collar, and then
nice.
I've done it. I have a couple more things to talk about. So one thing that when I, going back just a little bit, talking about my Spindrift cardigan, I was given a set of Knitter's Pride Nova Cubix interchangeable needles for review. And these are, well, they're cube shaped, not the whole, they're obviously long, but then the shape of the needle, rather than being rounded, it's cube shaped. So I knit this whole sweater using these needles, and I thought I'd give you my impressions a little bit on them.
Sure.
So I think I used the size 10 and a half, 11, and size 9. So I tried a few different sizes. I generally like using smaller needles, not super, super small, but I find 10, anything above 9, I find to be a little bit uncomfortable to knit with. I'm just less comfortable with that. But that's obviously not the fault of these needles. One of the things that I've found is with interchangeable needles is that sometimes they're hard to tighten really well. And part of that is because the needle, both the needle and the cable are circular. And so you try to tighten them and then your fingers slide. And so you can only hand tighten them to a certain point. And then you have to use the little key. There is a key that comes with this. And of course I used it, but it was much easier to tighten it properly because I was actually able to get a good grip on the square shape of the needle. So I particularly liked that.
Was knitting with square needles odd?
You know, not so much. I think that I found it a little bit easier in some instances if I had to sneak my needle into an already tight stitch, or if I had to do a knit two together for tight stitches. I don't know what it was exactly, but I was able to create tiny little corners or spaces, rotate the needle slightly, and then sneak it in. I found that might have been a little bit easier, so it might be something you want to try if you're knitting lace and have a lot of multiple stitches to knit together. That might be useful. It came in a neat carrying case. It was a good clear needle storage. I think I got 6 sizes, and then a pocket in the back to store the cables and everything like that. And another comment is that the sizes are really well marked on the needles themselves, with the metric as well as the US sizes. And I really liked that because it means first of all, I don't have a needle sizer that would fit a square needle. All my needle sizers are round. And also it's easy to keep them organized. So overall, I really like them. I'm looking forward to keeping these needles as part of my regular rotation of needle use, as in whenever I can't, my size 4s and 5s and 6s always are in use, and so I always need more, and these are going to be among those that I use, and I'm very happy with them. So again, these were the Knitter's Pride Nova Cubix interchangeable needles, and I give them thumbs up.
Except your thumbs are busy.
My thumbs are busy knitting.
With them.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All I am is a girl. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand. Use the sleeves of my sweater. Let's have an adventure. Head in the clouds with my gravity setter. Touch my neck. Now touch yours, you and those little high-waisted shorts, cut.
So I went to Vogue.
You went to Vogue Knitting Live.
I went to Vogue Knitting Live here in New York, and unfortunately I only made the Sunday.
I would have gone, except that I was on an airplane.
And I would have gone to more of it, except I was also on an airplane. So I spent last weekend in Spokane, Washington. I flew in on a Thursday, I performed on a Friday, and I flew back on my birthday. And I have to say, New York, there are no direct flights to Spokane.
They are missing out.
What up, New York City?
Is it New York that's missing out or Spokane that's missing
out? It's Melanie who is missing out because I missed out on my birthday because I spent the whole time flying. Oh, and it was the worst routing. And yes, it was the cheapest routing because I needed to book my own ticket for this gig. But it was on the way there, I think it was Chicago, Denver, Spokane. But on the way back, it was Spokane, Denver, Dallas, New York. And I don't really understand why I had to make a circle around the continental United States when I have heard the closest way between two points is a line.
Is it a straight line?
I've heard this.
Unless it's a wrinkle in time.
Yeah, but if it were a tesseract, it wouldn't have taken 12 hours. It would have taken immediately.
Right, of course.
Good reference, thanks, though. Thanks. I like that. If it were Wrinkle in Time, I would have gotten back here. Yes. Oh, never mind.
No. That would have been a really long wrinkle.
So it was fun to perform in Spokane. I didn't make it to any of the yarn stores. I didn't have any way to get anywhere, unfortunately. My billets were driving me, and they were really nice, but they both work. And so I managed to snag my 20-year-old lighting technician to drive me to a couple thrift stores and stuff around town just to see. You never know. Honestly, we thrift store won when we were in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin wins for thrift store.
Yep.
Goodness.
And a close second was Minneapolis and St. Paul because that's where we found hats. So many vintage hats.
That's where you got all your hats. So, I didn't buy so many vintage hats.
No, but you were there.
Yeah.
You were there.
I witnessed the hat buying.
And here the hats would have been so much more expensive. So really, you never know. You never know. However, cute thrift stores and vintage stores, the one I went to in Spokane, not so cute. It was completely a dump. But however, I found this giant, giant blue crinoline. It stands up by itself. It's something like 3 feet tall. I don't know where it's going to live.
Your closet.
It is my closet. Anyway, I had to get it home because I traveled carry-on only. So I wore a crinoline, a giant crinoline, on 3 flights in the continental U.S. and through the airport. Yes, it was my birthday.
Did they give you the pat? It was your. Did you wear a tiara for your birthday as well?
I am wearing a tiara right now.
You should have worn the crinoline with a tiara.
The tiara was here. I did once I got home when I went upstairs for cake. I wore the crinoline and the tiara.
I want cake.
I want cake too. Ooh, anyway,
I think we have a cupcake left.
It's a week old.
I don't care.
Okay.
There's still sugar in it.
The point is,
okay.
Yes, I got a super, I thought, okay, for once, I don't go in those stupid x-ray scanning machines. I don't like them. I find that a violation of my personal privacy. And so instead, I get violated even more and get a full pat down every single time I go through security, which is quite often. So yeah, I was so happy there wasn't one of those scanning machines at the Spokane airport. But instead, because I wore the crinoline through, I got a complete rub pat. Complete pat down.
You're like, I could just take it off and put it
on. I told her that. And she's like, no, it's too late now. And I said, but I could just do that. And she was tugging at it. It wasn't the kind of action I hoped to get on my birthday.
Well, at least it's something.
It was early in the morning. It was 6 in the morning. It was a little early for that kind of action. However, I guess that's not what I was. The point is, I think this was knitting related. Oh, Vogue. I went to Vogue.
Oh, no. So the crinoline and your birthday. And then the very next day you got up and went to Vogue.
I did. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Some highlights of Vogue for me were I spoke with some new vendors because we love the vendors, but we do tend to see the same people again
year
and again and
year.
Again.
Yeah.
And there were some Canadian vendors. I interviewed a couple of them. One of those interviews is in French, and I'm not translating it. Learn French.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. It's only a couple minutes long. She was fantastic, and she was from Quebec, so she used enough English words in her French that you'll understand what she said.
You're not going to be able to tell me what yarn companies or vendors these were you? Would you?
It'll be in the show notes.
Okay, and on the interview.
And on the interview.
And if you don't speak French, you don't need to know it.
No, I think I...
It'll be in the show notes.
She had this neat self...
Savvy Bro, please put it in the show
notes. Yes, Savvy Bro, please put it in the... Anyway, Vogue Knitting Live was really neat. The highlights for me were there were these giant, giant red crochet doilies. They were about 5 feet tall.
Cool.
4 feet across. It was... They were quite something. And they were... It was very cool. And there was a woman who had knit an entire garden. I talked to her, you'll see, but she had a yarn shop somewhere in Massachusetts, and she has knit an entire garden.
Cool.
I guess people have come and given her trouble because of the seasonality of the different flowers and the fact that they were all bloomed.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And there was a girl who knits so cute, these happy-looking hamburgers and things.
Were they knit or crocheted?
Actually, they were crocheted and needleworked.
Okay, but they're like a hamburger with a smiley face on it.
Yep.
Right?
Yes. We'll put up pictures because I posed with it. I was really hungry at that point.
Crochet.
Yum. Anyway, I had a really good time at Vogue Knitting. I wish I could have been there for longer. It was, unfortunately, one of these. I had a gig. I had to go to it. It was sad going there without Deborah. But, you know, as usual, there were happy knitters walking around. It was very strange to see Times Square overrun by knitters.
Woo!
Ooh.
Taking over the city.
One stitch at a time.
One knitter at a time.
There were a lot of knitters.
Yeah, well, it's Vogue Knitting Live.
It was. So it was really neat. You know, I mean, if you're in New York and Vogue Knitting's going on, I would definitely suggest to go to it. Everyone, this is Melanie, and I am just heading out the door to Vogue Knitting Live. Wow, I can't believe I'm doing this without Deborah. It's so lonely. Anyway, let's see. I am having a bit of a late start, but I bet by now the marketplace is in full swing, which will be great because there'll be knitters and knitting everywhere. Deborah is actually on a plane right now heading back from Europe where she went for a little mini break, mini vacation. So I'm sure later on this episode she will tell you all about Italy and Switzerland and all the fantastic things she got to eat. I mean, to do. But meanwhile, I am going to Vogue Knitting Live for both of us on behalf of Deborah, and I'm going to check out the knitters and the knitting, and I'm going to see what's going on. So I guess that's it. It's being held in Times Square at the Marriott Marquis, which means I just need to catch this one train over on 86th Street and head down, and I should be there shortly. And people are looking at me because I'm talking to myself. Okay. So I am here at Vogue Knitting Live with
Caroline McInnes from Yarn Flowers.
And you're Canadian like me.
Yes.
Welcome to New York.
Thank you.
Where's Cher in Ontario?
Near Toronto.
Nice.
We have a wonderful mayor in Toronto. You've probably heard of him. And so our socks, you wanted to know
yes,
about
these socks are fantastic. I was looking at a swatch, and the swatch had a price tag on it, so I was very intrigued.
Well, what they are is they're called sock blanks, and we dye them all, and you basically unravel the socks, and you end up with this beautiful gradation of color.
So it looks like a scarf, and you unravel it. It has two ends of wool. Is this what it is?
That's right. So you can knit both the socks at the same time, and they just look great.
I think it's a fantastic idea for a present, because a knitter will think, oh, I can't knit. You gave me a scarf. And then they'll unravel it, and instead they'll have socks.
That's right. So that's right. And you're never bored if you can knit.
Well, they're beautiful, and all your things here are very pretty. I've never seen your booth at anywhere before, so it's nice to see people. You see the regulars, but it's also nice to see new people.
Good.
And are you having fun here, Vogue?
We are. We've had a lot of fun in New York, too.
You haven't been mugged yet?
No.
Have you mugged anyone?
No.
Je suis Louise Robert de Biscotte et compagnie.
Et vous?
Je m'appelle Bess.
Et Bess est une visiteur à Vogue Knitting Live. Oui?
Oui.
Et est-ce que vous... Are you having a good time? En français?
Very much so.
Et nous sommes ici à Biscotte et...
Et compagnie.
Et compagnie. Et c'est votre laine?
Oui, c'est de la laine. On se spécialise dans la laine auto-rayante, la laine self-striping. Donc, on a beaucoup de couleurs qui font des... notre laine la plus populaire, c'est la couleur melon d'eau, watermelon. On a Ladybug, on a Nemo, on a Cupcake, on a l'arc-en-ciel. Donc, on a beaucoup de choix de couleurs dans la laine auto-rayante.
Est-ce que vous aimez la laine personnellement?
Oui, beaucoup. C'est la raison pour laquelle je me suis lancée dans cette grande aventure.
Ah. Et c'est une communauté de tricoteurs très, très proches l'un à l'autre, oui?
Oui, oui, effectivement. Le tricot, c'est très rassembleur.
Et même dans le Québec?
Oui, oui, définitivement. Oui.
Super! Et est-ce que vous aimez être ici dans New York pour l'événement?
Oui, oui. Bien, premièrement, c'est notre première visite à New York, donc c'est vraiment fantastique. Puis le show, le Vogue Knitting, c'est juste dommage que je n'ai pas le temps de me promener pour voir les autres kiosques, mais c'est fantastique. On a beaucoup de plaisir, puis ça va bien, le show est vraiment plaisant.
J'adore votre laine. Moi, ma sœur est le tricoteur. Pas vraiment moi, mais j'aime beaucoup la laine. J'aime beaucoup
les chaussettes.
Les chaussettes qu'on peut faire avec la laine. Alors, je vais prendre une carte et je vais faire un link à votre site web.
Parfait, c'est gentil. Merci beaucoup.
Okay. Merci beaucoup. At Vogue Knitting Live, I have been walking around and seeing what's going on, and it's really lonely being here without Deborah, honestly. This is a great event. It's just, I'm lonely. And I sometimes just don't know what to say to people because I need Deborah here to do knitting events with me. Anyway, I have been trying to suss out some of the booths that are newer and booths that I don't recognize as much, so I'm going to do a few interviews with those people. And there's so much to see. I'm looking around for some people to interview. Oh, look, it's Dorset. That's a kind of sheep, I know that. I just want to buy all these samples because I don't really want to knit anything, but I wouldn't mind that really pretty purple cowl on me. Yesterday I received these two absolutely amazing mini swap packages for my birthday. Well, actually, I think they were just sort of thank you for doing the swap packages. So, but it was my birthday, so I opened them. And inside one of them was this orange scarf wrap around the neck thing. And I'm wearing it and I feel very knitterly wearing it. I feel like I can pass in these people and no one's going to point at me and yell, "You're not a knitter." So yeah, that's probably good. I'm here with
Nicole Gastingay.
And everyone's paying attention to your display. Your display is kind of crazy and awesome at the same time. So what are these wonderful things?
I crochet and needlepoint regular objects that don't necessarily have faces, and I put faces on them and I make them smile.
Not all of them, though.
No. If you are a can of film, you have no longer exist. You're sad.
That's true. The mousetrap is sad.
The mousetrap is sad because he doesn't really like killing.
That's fair enough. But you know what's happy? This toaster and these warm toasts.
Yes.
And this giant hamburger, which I wish I were eating right now.
I know. I think they strategically put me in front of the food stand to make people hungry.
I think it's working. I love the thermos.
Thank you.
So when the top's on the thermos, he's frowning?
He's frowning because he's all alone. But when the top's off of the thermos, he's got his friend underneath.
These are so cute. So have you written a book or anything about these?
No, I have not.
Why have you not?
I don't know.
You should write a book about these.
Thank you.
Are those? There's a can of sardines. I'm sorry. These are about the cutest thing I've ever seen. And why waste crochet on granny squares if you can crochet a giant hamburger?
Exactly.
Right?
I agree.
Wow. I love this. What made you decide to do this?
I'm way into like Japanese culture and advertising. They put faces on everything, and that just kind of cracks me up more than anything. So I was like, I can do that.
Do they talk to each other?
Yes, when I'm not looking, they come to life.
Do they talk to you?
No.
Oh, you'll have the sad face and they'll have the happy face.
Yes.
Well, have you been having fun here, Vogue?
I have. Nice. A lot of fun. This is my first yarn chip.
Well, I suspect with this display you'll be doing a lot of them.
I hope so.
Well, the sad film canister. He's just so sad.
Yes. Yes, Kodak went bankrupt, so that's when I made that one.
They did?
Yes, they did. 2012, they filed for bankruptcy. I know.
Where do you buy your film from now? Fuji? Or?
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, there were a few little kids that came by and picked up the film canister, and they were like, what's this?
Oh.
That was kind of upsetting.
That is really upsetting. Wow, I'm old. You're old.
We're old.
You can crochet a little gravestone.
Yes.
Well, these are beautiful, and this is fantastic. This just made my Vogue. So, because there's so many cowls and scarves and things, and they're fine. But I prefer a giant gumball machine and toast.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh, and do you have a webpage?
I do.
What is
it's
that?
It's myname.com, Nicole Gastingay.
And how do you spell that?
NicoleGastingay.com.
So if you go there, you will have a happy face and not a sad face.
Correct.
Everything's so cute.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'm still here at Vogue Knitting, and I'm with...
Bonnie Burton.
And we're in a garden, sort of.
Yes, an all-knitted one.
No crochet.
No crochet.
So this is an all-knitted garden. I will take a picture. It is a beautiful garden display. And you are a yarn bomber.
Yarn bomber, yes. That's how I started this fun thing. I've been knitting for many, many years, since I was a child. But the yarn bombing and decorating our little New England village is where I started doing something more three-dimensional. And now this is knitted sculpture. It's the second year I've done a window display for our store in Lenox, Massachusetts. And it's all three-dimensional.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And I think people are, they're walking by, they're looking at it as a whole, but they're not noticing the tiny details, like the fact you've knitted the water.
Yes. If you knit fishing line, it sparkles like water. And I covered a vase and a serving platter to make what looks like a bird bath or a fountain. But yes, there's a squirrel, there are three birds, there's even a weed in the garden, if anybody can find the weed.
Really?
So I like to have fun with details.
And there's even little roots on the plant that's being planted.
Right. The seedling was taken out of the little starter pot, and it and its trowel are next to a mound of knitted dirt ready to be planted.
I see the weed. Is that little dandelion?
The dandelion. You found
so
it.
So cute. Is there a yarn you prefer for all this?
Well, I used mostly DK weight and fingering weight. It's a lot of it is wool. I find that a little bit more flexible than cotton. And it also stays matte finished and more plant-like.
Now, is there a garden you took as an example for this?
No.
It's just New England, so every garden is beautiful.
Well, I've been told by people who are real gardeners, I am not, but people who really know flowers, that this is seasonally incorrect, that a dandelion wouldn't be coming out at the same time as your tulips. So I really did a fantasy version of nature, I guess, but it was a matter of things I like and would like to see rendered. And also, a number of these are free patterns online. I'm not the author of every piece. Mostly the author of the setting and putting all the parts together, and of course knitting it all in 4.5 months.
Wow, that must take a long time.
But you know, when you start a garden, I started with a fountain, and then I said, what would the fountain have around it? So of course you have to do the little gravel under it and the bricks that surround the fountain, and then you start going out from there and you make these little grass plots and you put dirt in it and you knit flowers to plant in them. So it's kind of the way you would landscape your own garden.
And little birds, knitted birds fly down
knitted
to see what's going on.
Knitted birds are in the water of the fountain.
They look pretty happy, especially the sparrow.
Of course,
sparrow.
You knit your own watering cans, right?
Of course. I mean, who doesn't? Sure.
And except, there needs to be a park bench so you can sit and relax and look at your garden.
Now, did you stuff that for the park bench? Are they columns? I see they're held together with wire.
No, that's not really wire. That's knitted almost like a pillow would be, and it's filled with foam. The end pieces, which resemble concrete, are foam-filled. And then the seat is knitted all the way around with a variegated redwood look, but it has a styrofoam platform inside. It's not engineered very strong. You can't sit on it, of course, but it's for looks. And then the boxwood is also like a big pillow. It's stuffed with foam. And you see that there's new growth. Since we sheared our boxwood, it's already started growing back.
Oh, look at that.
Little tufts of
little ends. I've always wanted a New England farmhouse, and this is sort of how I picture it. So this is my dream, but maybe not made out of yarn.
Well, these flowers are perfect because you don't have to water them, and they don't complain about it.
So when you're at the airport, you don't talk about being a yarn bomber?
No, not usually. That's
keep that
not
on
a
the
good thing
low.
To do. No. And the yarn bombing, we worked in our small town with Shakespeare and Company, which is a performing place, and we yarn bombed their yard this year, too. So we've gone out from our own location and started doing others.
Well, this is beautiful, and you can just tell how popular it is by the amount of people stopping and taking pictures.
There are definitely a lot of photos that have been taken, that's for sure. We want people to enjoy it. There's a sense of tongue-in-cheek when I design something like this. I want people to laugh and chuckle. And when it's in our store window, that's our expectation. I have people walk in the store unexpecting this, and when they see it, we want them to chuckle.
So, Melanie, you have been working really hard, and you have an exciting announcement.
Almost announcement.
A pre-announcement?
I'm almost done the knitting CD. It is almost finished.
Are you announcing that you're almost done, or are you pre-announcing that you're almost done?
No, I'm actually okay. It's an announcement that I am almost done the knitting CD.
So, what knitting CD is this? Because you already have one, right?
I do. I have a CD of World War I knitting music out there. It's called Knitting All the Day. It is on Amazon and CD Baby and iTunes and all those places.
What is knitting music, Melanie?
Wow, you're good at this.
Yeah, thanks.
Knitting music is music written during the world wars and at other times.
Really, music written at any time.
At any time, but they tend to be a large concentration of it during the two wars, and it is music about knitting. But essentially, during the First World War, composers in Tin Pan Alley were writing music about anything that was popular in order to sell sheet music. And knitting was a popular thing once the war started.
Knitting for the soldiers and such.
Right. And it started when there was one female member of the Red Cross, and she sort of looked at their stores of knitted items because over the years, there was the Boer War, depending on which country you were in.
That was South Africa.
No, but Canada was in that too.
Yeah, but that happened in
South
Africa. It
happened, but that was Canada's last sort of big war before the First World War.
And then was it?
It was the Boer War? Yeah, the Boer War. And in the States, there was the Civil War. Before the Boer War, but there were always little things, and there would be knitted items donated to the soldiers and put in the stores of the Red Cross. And this woman, I think her name is Mabel, when the war started, she looked at what was in the Red Cross, and she said, "It is not enough. This war could go on for, I don't know, a whole winter. We need more things."
Mm-hmm.
And
so they started a campaign, right?
They started a campaign to knit for the soldiers, then the music of Tin Pan Alley. And also music being written outside of Tin Pan Alley, in the churches, in the small towns. A lot of people wrote music, writing a song. You'd write a song for your social. You'd write a song for kids to sing at school. There was a lot of music being written and published by smaller publishers also.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the First World War, there was music written to galvanize the women to knit and also to reflect that the women were knitting. So that's my first CD. During the Second World War, the War Department actually came on board and they saw how the music from the First World War worked as sort of an anthem and how important the music had been, and they even considered excluding songwriters from the draft in the war.
Sorry, you say the War Department. What country was it?
America, U.S., the U.S. Okay. War Department.
But there were other countries where they were producing this music too, right?
Yes, Britain was producing a lot of the music.
Australia.
Canada, Australia, France to a certain extent during the Second World War. However, the big push, and the thing is, a lot of these songwriters in those countries would send their songs to the States to be published.
Okay.
Outside of Britain, the major music publishing industry, and outside of, say, Germany, but they were busy being the enemy
other things
at that point.
Right.
So
they had their hands full.
Yeah, their hands were pretty full of guns fighting us. But
right.
At the time, the War Department, the U.S. War Department actually... We're asking songwriters to write this World War II knitting music to, again, try to find an anthem. And they were going to exclude songwriters from the draft. And it was a big deal, this music. But then the war ended and all the music was lost and forgotten and was never republished. And I have found it, and I put it together into this CD, and the CD is almost done.
So what type of music, what feel does it have?
I'd say Americana, cabaret slash folk slash jazz feel, okay. Depending on the different songs. There's one that's definitely more classical, that's a British song. There are a lot that are a smaller version of a big band feel.
You have multiple instrumentalists on there, too.
I do. I've got a drummer. Mm-hmm. I have two drummers, actually, because we did it in two sessions. I have a guitarist. I have someone...
Pianist?
A pianist, of course. I have someone on the bass. I even have a slide whistle player, someone on the triangle.
A flautist,
a piccolo, and I played the accordion on one song.
Woo!
So that's me. And we have a barroom chorus, which... actually, it was comprised of a bunch of our neighbors upstairs and Deborah. We just got all the neighbors together, and they were my ballroom chorus. Barroom chorus.
Except, well, we were actually drinking
eggnog
at the time.
It was actually lovely.
With Crown Royal in it, so it was somewhat barroom-like. I was feeling
Wait, did the 12-year-old make the Crown Royal?
No, the dad added the Crown Royal to the, but it was homemade eggnog.
It was really good. I think it was just butter and eggs.
Yep, in a glass. Delicious.
And with that in our bellies, we sang knitting music.
Yes. Now you are coming out with this music when?
It is being mastered. It is in the final stages of mastering, which sounds so important. And it is. And pretty, okay, right now it's Sunday. The podcast will probably come out Monday. That is probably the same day I will get the music up on CD Baby. Takes it a few days to go to iTunes and Amazon and such. So it'll be available digitally this week.
So if you're looking for it.
I will put an announcement up, but it probably will be on CD Baby within the next couple days.
Woohoo!
It's going to be called Sweeter in a Sweater, so you know to look it up.
Yes, sweeter, and because everyone is sweeter in a sweater.
I wish someone would knit me a... No, I have a sweater, that one you knit.
Yeah, the one that I knit.
Right, never mind.
And then there's the other one that you bought that someone else knit.
Oh, right, I have two sweeter in a sweater.
And you could knit yourself a sweater.
Anyway.
You'd be sweeter.
Back up...
Okay, no, nothing would make you sweeter.
You just got back from Italy. I spoke all about Spokane, and no one cares about Spokane.
Yes, I went to Italy. I traveled with a friend, and we went to Milan. My friend was working there, and I was on vacation. So I spent about 4 or 5 days in Milan. I know that there are a lot of spinning mills and yarn producers around Milan. I made the conscious decision not to seek them out, which is very out of character, but in the spirit of... not having too much yarn in my stash, which, okay, who are we kidding? There already is. And it would have been a lot of effort because a lot of these yarn producers are industrial parks outside of the city. So I decided that I was going to focus more on being a tourist than being a consumer. So I wandered around the city and I went to the Duomo, which is the large Gothic cathedral. And I saw a...
Did you go in the Duomo?
No, I didn't go in the Duomo. I looked around it.
I didn't either when I was in Milan. Darn it. It's one of those things you mean to do and then it just doesn't happen.
I did a little bit of shopping, but not a whole bunch. But just, you know, the odd pretty thing here and there. And I ate a lot of Italian food. I ate a lot of cheese. Let me tell you, I like the cheese. And what else did I do? While I was in... Milan, though.
Do you eat pizza?
Oh, yes. And I saw I went to the, I don't remember if it was the National Museum or something, but they had a Rodin exhibit. So I saw some of the Rodin, I don't know, you call them statues, carvings, whatever. They were lovely. And then I took 4 days and I went to Switzerland in a place called Leukerbad. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but I was so proud of myself because I figured Melanie found me the spot and found me the hotel, but I figured out how to get there. I bought a ticket from Milan to, where was that? Milan to Brig, and then Brig to Leuk, and then a bus from Leuk to Leukerbad.
Wow.
So I was very proud of myself. I got there. And
did you speak Italian, Spanish? Spantaliaged?
Well, not in Switzerland. I spoke French, and then people responded to me in German.
Nice.
Yeah. It was surprising how... Actually, there were quite a few people who spoke only German and English, so it was a bit disappointing. Here I am with my French and excited because I'm in a country where I can, you know, speak one of the local languages, and yeah, not in that part of the country so much. However, it was this absolutely beautiful little ski town in the nestled among the Alps and kind of halfway up the mountain area, and there were thermal baths and a cable car, and I stayed in a charming little hotel that was more chalet-like than hotel, like a wood cabin type feel to it. It was absolutely charming. And I went out one day and I went for a hike in the snow. And other days I got a massage and I did lots of knitting and lots of sitting and looking at pretty, 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 pretty mountains. It was a nice vacation. I was glad that I went. And I didn't buy any yarn.
That is a miracle.
I know. Tell me about it.
A Swiss miracle.
And Italian miracle?
An Italian miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even go looking for it. I can't believe myself. How did I miss that opportunity? What's wrong with me?
Swapetition.
Swapetition.
It's basically over.
So swapetition is done.
I'll take off my... Ow. I just took off my my tiara because swapetition is over.
Oh, I don't know. You didn't know you were wearing it for the duration of swapetition. So swapetition, for anyone who's new, was a swap that mostly Melanie organized. And
we thought about it in August. We started it in October and it's ended almost in February. This was good.
It was a good swap.
We kept it going for quite a while.
Yeah. So not only did people swap packages, but we also picked winners, hence the competition part of swapetition.
Right.
And so there were so many good participants. We had more than 80 participants. Only 3 people disappeared.
Yes, 3 people disappeared.
We've had some very generous swappers who have done wonderful things, sent wonderful packages to each other. A few lovely swappers sent Melanie bonus packages for, well, really for all her hard work organizing. And
I prefer to think of them as birthday presents because I saved them to open on my birthday.
Well, whatever they were, you know, lovely and generous.
Can I confess something?
Okay.
The Madeline Tosh yarn that was in one of my extra bonus packages.
Yeah.
I slept with it last night. I was cold and lonely, and I thought I was going to die, and cats were going to eat my face.
So you were concerned that you would die single and alone and be eaten by cats,
yeah.
And in response, you cuddled yarn.
It was.
Do you see the irony in that?
No, I don't. It was warm, and it was something to hold.
Oh,
what?
God. I love you so much.
It was right there.
You bring me such joy.
Oh, dear.
So.
And wait, another of the yarns, which I didn't cuddle last night because it's kind of depressing, okay. Also came in the extra swap package, and the colorway is called You Looked Better on the Internet.
Whoa, that's perfect for you.
I know, it's so thank
not
you.
Not for you, as in You Look Better on the Internet, for all your internet dating
yes.
efforts.
Yes, so thank you, Kirby Bird and Spitfire SNC, for A, reminding me that I'm not the only one who has made bad first date decisions from the internet, and for letting me snuggle, if not you, the yarn you sent.
The yarn you sent. Well, there were so many wonderful things, and I would highly recommend, if someone's interested in seeing some fabulous packages, to just go onto the Swapetition thread in our Ravelry group and have a look, because I'm just so impressed, and we're not going to mention it all, but I think that why don't we just off the top of our heads, and please, if we don't mention you or mention something wonderful you did, it's just because it didn't pop into our mind in this very second, but why don't we talk about some of the highlights?
Okay, well, the highlights. Let's see, the highlights of the packages?
Yeah. Or highlights of Swapetition, I suppose.
Okay, I have to put a thing out there. Savvy Bro and his penguin package.
Okay, so Savvy Bro's swap partner likes penguins.
Yes, she likes penguins like you like yarn.
Well, I think she likes yarn, too.
She likes yarn, yeah.
However, Savvy Bro went penguin crazy, and I'm so proud of him. He actually went to Savvy Mom's house and learned how to sew. He didn't, I think he kind of knew, he knew how to use a sewing machine before, but he himself sewed her not a, I would say more than a project bag, because it had pockets and handles.
What?
And I think it was more like a tote bag than a project bag.
Jeez. It was, I bet her boyfriend loved that one.
So
start sewing, dude.
So Andrew basically, I don't think he knew how to sew that before.
But he doesn't. Watch out, everyone's boyfriend.
Yeah, watch out.
A savvy bro's coming.
Coming to steal your girlfriends.
With stitches.
Anyways, so that was very impressive, in addition to a bunch of other things, including a penguin USB stick and all sorts of other wonderful penguin things. So well done, Savvy Bro. We're very proud of you. Well, I would like to bring up the person who won the pluckiest award.
Poor girl.
Poor girl. So this is Packing Knits 1, and she successfully stalked someone who provided no information about herself.
There's nothing on her Ravelry page either. Like, there was really nothing.
There was very little information
out
there.
She likes purple.
Her swap partner didn't acknowledge that the package that Packy Knits 1 sent her a package, or what was in the package. And then when Packy Knits realized that there weren't any pictures, that she'd had no pictures of her package, and when she realized that her swap partner wasn't going to post any pictures of her package, and therefore felt that she couldn't be in the running for prizes, instead of complaining, she just thanked us for organizing such a nice swap. So, Packy Knits, you won the pluckiest award.
She's way nicer than I am.
She was way nicer than I would have been, let me tell you.
That was one of the people who disappeared, by the way.
Yeah, we had three disappearers, and that's one, you know, not Packy Knits, but Packy Knits' partner.
How about the giant advent calendar?
That was cool. You explain that.
It was a giant advent calendar. I forget, was that from Allie? I think it's from Alligator. And it was this really big... I mean, okay, everyone else except for me pretty much knew what an advent calendar was. So, yay, Jewish girl here. But pretty much between something leading up to Christmas, advent, between advent and Christmas?
The days leading...
It's 28 days, something Christmas.
I think you start opening one drawer one
day. You get chocolate.
It's leading up to Christmas, so it's
it goes on sale near the end of Advent. You can usually get one for pretty cheap.
Advent is a... I don't know. But basically, you open one little door a day until Christmas, I think.
They didn't teach us this in Jewish class.
No, they didn't. So we didn't really take Jewish class.
Good point. The point is, it was an advent calendar, which her recipient totally cheated and opened all the windows.
It was a box that had a ton of different windows in it and a gift in each section. And the idea was to open it, but of course her I wouldn't have been able to wait. So her partner just opened a bunch of them, opened them all, and then showed us pictures of the ingenious advent swap package. That was lovely.
How about Goose and Stitches? I'm sorry. Okay. You need to mention that because
you mention it.
I feel it needs to be addressed.
So Goose and Stitches.
She sent a perfectly lovely package.
She sent a lovely package, and in the package she included a tape measure. On the tape measure was the logo for another podcast.
Wait, not only that.
Not only that, but her swap recipient got so excited, and because she said, quote, "That's one of my favorite podcasts."
Ouch.
So
she got a package and we got a grain of salt.
It's like the carrot and the stick. She got the carrot, we got the stick.
It feels like it.
That was funny. Hickory sent a weapon through the U.S. mail.
Good for you, Hickory. You're supposed to declare those things. Wasn't a gun.
What, do you remember what it was called?
It was called an Ulu.
It's like a chopper. Knife type thing, and I don't think it's necessarily used as a weapon.
I mean, it could be.
If you were to take it on an airplane, they certainly would call it a weapon. But she sent it from Alaska. She put together a lovely package. In fact, so many people did.
But she sent it to the U.S. mail, which in these days of hyper-terrorism awareness, I am very...
Proud of her.
Proud of her. Good for you.
Is there... I mean...
Okay, snowball to India.
Okay, that was fun.
Thank you, Sarosa, for knitting a snowball and sending it to India.
Yes. I don't entirely know how she made her snowball. I assume she knit some kind of round shape and then stuffed it. I'm not entirely sure, but she sent a snowball to India.
Yes.
So the India, it wasn't just random to the entire country, but to her swap partner who lives in India.
In India.
Yes.
Aside from three people disappearing, which isn't cool.
No. But
I mean, if you're disappearing before you get sent a package, it's one thing.
And tell us.
Just say, hey, I'm leaving you.
Don't leave us, though.
Don't just forget to call.
Yeah. Don't just walk out the door and, go out for milk and never come back.
That's what they went out for yarn and never came back.
Oh, break my heart. Anyways, successful swap petition. Thank you so much for all the participants. And next time around, I hope everyone participates. That would be huge if everyone participated.
Wow, that would be crazy.
That would be fun. I hope more people participate. It turned out to be a lot of fun.
We will have another one, not yet.
Not immediately.
The next thing I have on the list to talk about is...
Can I talk to you about the Revelinux?
Fine.
Yay. Okay. So I am participating in the Revelinux. I hope you are all too, if you want to, of course. There was a little controversy initially in the Revelinux Ravelry group, but in the end, it's kind of a... The idea is that you give yourself a challenge and you knit or crochet or spin or weave a project or multiple projects during the time that the Olympics are on TV. Or, in fact, during the time that the Olympics are happening. Whether they're on your TV or not, doesn't matter.
So, not going to be on our TV because we don't have TV.
No, but we can get it online. So, I'm participating in the Revelinux games, and I've joined Team Canada. And Savvy Mom has also joined Team Canada. Now, you're free to join whatever team you want.
I'm on Team Canada from last time.
Are you still a member?
Yeah.
Well, good.
I know I'm not a quitter.
Oh, God. Well, given that there was 2 years in between, I left the group and came back.
Oh, did you? I'm only in maybe 6 groups. So.
Oh, and that's one of them?
I think
Isn't
so.
Isn't that cute? Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Bless your
Go
heart.
Go on. You're Bless committed. Your heart.
Okay. So I've set my goals. I guess 2 goals for the Revelinux. And the idea will be that I will, just like thousands of knitters out there, I'm going to cast on during the opening ceremonies and finish... reach my goal and finish before the end of the Olympics. All right, so I picked 2 patterns. One of them is called Luckiest Day by Maurik Kirk. And this is knit out of a bulky, it looks a little ran/bulky weight yarn. And it is published by Kilbourne Woolens in the ebook Tundra Elements. Basically, it's a bottom-up raglan sweater. But it's neat, though, because, and maybe this is the way raglan sweaters used to be done, and it's me rediscovering it, but the sleeves are knit separate from the body and then sewn on. So, and the sleeves are striped and the body is not. So you have a solid color body with a little bit of a button detail near the bottom, mostly in stockinette, and then you have the sleeves, and then you sew your sleeves onto the body, but it's in the raglan shape. And then there's a cowl neck. And so this one, I'm looking forward to making. I think that I hope it's going to be quick because it's a little bit of a heavier wool and it's all in stockinette.
Only one person has ever knit it?
I know. Well, it was published in September 2013.
Uh-huh.
So not long ago. I guess I'll be number 2.
That's perfect for you. You're number 2. You're used to that in this family, right?
I'm number... Oh.
Oh, sad middle child.
Sad middle child. And the other sweater I'm going to make.
She's adorable. Look at that.
So this is going to be 2 sweaters in 10 days, is called the Seaberg sweater. And it was published in Knit Scene in spring 2012. And it is a 3/4 sleeve, cute little, again, raglan. I didn't mean it to be raglan, but that's just how it worked out. I think it's raglan style.
It doesn't look raglan style to me.
No, it might be set in sleeves. Oh, even better. Yeah, I can't quite tell.
It's hard because this girl weighs about 3 pounds.
Yeah. So, but anyways, it's a 3/4 sleeve, solid stockinette body with a slightly boat-shaped neck, and then this neat candy cane stripe collar. I don't know how to describe the collar exactly. It's almost a stand-up. How would you describe that?
Candy cane.
Well, it's candy cane. It's striped.
It looks delicious.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Lickable. It's a lickable collar.
Okay, just go check it out. Boat neck with a kind of standing collar. Almost like a... Is it called a Mao collar?
Seriously?
Hold on.
It looks like a lollipop has wrapped itself around her neck and is delicious. Also candy cane.
I also can't spell the word collar. Okay, so it stands up kind of like a Mao collar.
Oh, like from Mao Tse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except
Mao
that it's
tongue.
Rather than being close Mao. To the neck, it follows the boat neck. So it's a little bit of a wider, taller collar. Anyways, very pretty. This one's going to be DK weight. And this sweater will also be knit within the 10-day period. Two thumbs up for two sweaters in 10 days. That's my goal, and I'm sticking to it.
I guess I have a goal, too.
What's your goal?
I would like to finish the thumbs on those mittens I designed.
In 10 days. How are you going to do it?
It's been 2 months now, but I think if I just stick to
it. You have two thumbs today?
Two thumbs, so I can give things two thumbs up, as opposed to now my thumbs are cold when I...
So you don't want to... Yeah, okay, mittens. Right.
I have to sew in the ends, too.
Oh, God. What
I
are you
know.
Gonna do?
Let's just hope there are a lot of boring sports.
Hopefully I'll
Come
finish,
on, curling.
Hopefully I'll finish my sweaters in time to do that for you, right?
I need to write down that pattern I designed. I mean, okay. Except there's no thumbs in there. There are no thumbs in the design.
Right.
Yet.
You're my hero.
Really?
Not really.
I also have that hat I need to finish knitting, the one that needs about 3 more minutes on it, that has about 4 more rows, and it sat there since the summer.
Yeah. I said set yourself a challenge.
It's been sitting there for 6 months.
Don't reach for the moon.
Oh, so sad. No. Oh. Stash.
Let's talk about my
Let's
stash.
Let's talk about your stash.
So my stash has been causing me a little bit of stress lately, and I can't tell you why exactly, other than the fact that everywhere else I've lived, while I was a knitter, I had at least a guest bedroom, if not a guest bedroom, as well as a den. I've had some generous housing. And I've always had room. I've always basically had a craft room. And this is the first place where I don't have a craft room, which I know, wah, poor me. But the issue is Melanie won't let me store my stash in her bedroom, and it doesn't seem that that she would like it a lot if I stored my stash in the living room.
Well, you do a little.
That's the den, Melanie.
In the closet, you have fiber.
Okay, there's fiber there. However, so in the end, I am storing most of my stash in my bedroom, which isn't creating the kind of zen type of, this type of calm, clean and clear environment that I like to have in my bedroom because, well, it's my sleeping place and I like to have it.
You do a lot of sleeping.
I do a lot of sleeping and, you know, I don't want anything to interrupt that. But basically, my stash is taking up more space than it needs to. So
wait, I'm sorry. Your stash interrupts your sleep? Yeah. Wake up. Knit me.
No, well, you know how they say that if you want your bedroom to be a calming place, it needs to be a calming space. Something like
they
that.
Do?
Well, not in those words, but I think I should now trademark them.
Oh, TM. TM, Deborah.
TM.
So you need to get rid of your stuff.
So there are certain things that I don't love in my stash, and some of the things that I'm putting up are things that I bought, in particular things that I bought when I was a new knitter, when I was living in Argentina, and when I had access to all sorts of wonderful things like the Malabrigo factory and the factory direct Araucanía store and that sort of thing. And I didn't have a stash at that point, and I bought a lot of yarn because it was good yarn and because the price was right. And some of the yarn that I've bought, I'm tired of the colors, and some of the yarn I just have too much of. So I've put a bunch of, I identified a bunch of yarn that I would be happy to rehouse. And Melanie was kind enough yesterday to help me put it up on her stash page so as not to confuse it. Well, so as not.
It's the only, it's all I've got for my stash. I thought that would.
Well, also it means that I can't take it down and sneak the yarn back into my stash.
You know, if you say my stash really fast, it sounds like mustache.
My stash. Oh, good point.
Just saying. Just as an aside.
Anyways, so if you're interested, I've priced the yarns. I'm looking. I have spent quite a bit of money on my stash, and so I'm not quite. I've given. I do give a lot away through podcast prizes, but there are some things that just. I would like to at least recover what I paid for it, which is significantly less than what you would pay at the at a commercial store. So I've put up, the majority are Araucanía and Malabrigo now, but I'm also going to be putting up quite a bit of yarn and fiber that I bought, some undyed stuff. It's good yarn and the price is right. And it also, anything additional that we make off of it, which is, again, I'm not looking to make a big profit off of it, but, you know, a dollar here or there is going to go towards supporting the podcast. So if you're interested in supporting us or interested in helping me make my room a calmer place, or if you're interested in having more yarn, then go and check out Melanie's stash page and see if there's anything there that interests you.
And we're also thinking, we had planned for quite a while to have a booth at Rhinebeck or a booth at Maryland Sheep and Wool, and we've just been lazy about applying.
Well, it's just,
we're
not a business. And so we've traveled to a lot of places and collected a lot of wonderful things that lots of people, I think, would like. And we wanted to have a chance to sell it but we just haven't really found that location yet, and it's taking up space, and we're in New York, and space is a bit of at a premium. So we have a few other things. I have leather bags that...
They're knitting purses.
It's essentially leather knitting bags or that look more like purses than knitting bags. Anyways, they're very nice. And then we have a lot of Czech glass buttons.
They're beautiful.
And some alpaca blankets, and... we're going to put some of those up as well, and if you're interested, again, it goes towards supporting the podcast and also helps make a little more space in our lives.
We need more space. Our cupboards are full.
Yeah, they are. They are.
This is the Hat Song. Sing along with me. Red hat, sister's got a red hat. Yellow hat, brother's got a yellow hat. Purple hat, purple hat, I've got a purple hat. We've all got different colored hats.
Hello, everyone. Now, the podcast is almost finished. It's been done for a couple days, and I know it's really long, but I just wanted to add a quick little segment here at the end. And don't worry, I'll be quick. Promise I'll try to be quick. First of all, we haven't talked much about the Halos of Hope podcast or Throwdown. It's a wonderful cause. It's a charity where people knit hats for women, for people undergoing cancer treatment. And there's sort of an unofficial, possibly official podcaster competition about whose listeners are making the most hats. And I know that a lot of you have been making hats for this. And if you donate them on behalf of our podcast or anyone else's podcast, it doesn't matter. It's a wonderful cause, and thank you so much, everyone who's making these hats and who will be donating these hats. And I know a lot of people are bringing them to Stitches West, which is great. Really great. So first, thank you for everyone who is doing the Halos of Hope podcaster throwdown. Now, I have my own mini sort of Halos of Hope mini podcaster Melanie throwdown that I just wanted to quickly tell people about. I live in New York, as you know, and one of my friends from high school back in Alberta, up in Canada, unfortunately has cancer, and she's about to start chemotherapy. And I talked to her the other day, and I mentioned that I could knit her a hat. We were talking that she was going to lose her hair, and I asked if she had any hats, and she has this really ugly acrylic hat that she bought at the store for something like $2 that she's been wearing for years, and it's got this little brim. It's nothing that a knitter would look twice at. That's pretty much it. And it's worn, and it's not special. And so I thought, okay, I'll make her a hat. I'm not sure which hat yet. I'm debating between maybe the Poet Slouchy I forget what it's called. The Madeline Tosh Poet something beret. Or maybe Norby, which is a great hat. I really like Norby. Or I'm really bad at names of patterns when they're not in front of me. But anyway, I was thinking of making her a hat. And then Deborah offered to make her a hat. And then I thought, you know what? One hat's great. Two hats are better. But you know what? She's about to start going through a really hard time. And you know what would be even better than that? Many hats. Yes, I want to yarn bomb Tracy. I want her to show up for chemotherapy wrapped in all sorts of woolly goodness, handmade woolly goodness, and I want all of the other patients to look at her and think, where did you get that amazing array of hats or other knitted paraphernalia? So, if anyone has an extra hat or feels like knitting an extra hat to yarn bomb my friend Tracy, it would be fantastic. You could send them to me directly. Send me a message on Ravelry, Savvy Girl Melanie, and I will give you my address. Or you could send them directly to her, but it's if you're in the States, it's probably cheaper just to send them to me. And I will send them to her. And I am happy to give presents in exchange for this because I hate knitting. I will make her one hat and give her all the support she needs. However, I can't knit an array of hats. I hate knitting. But some of you actually like knitting. So if you do, maybe Tracy needs a hat or socks or just or something. Something knitted. If you've knitted something and you don't love it, she'll probably love it. So yes, I started a thread on a Ravelry group yarn bombing Tracy, so help me. Help me, everyone. Yarn bomb my friend. Because really, I don't know. I have nothing clever to say. It's 2:30 in the morning. But yarn bomb Tracy. It'll be fun. And it'll make her really happy. So, yeah. That's all. Good night, everyone.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just sitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone. And that is why we sing this knitting song.
Let's get one pearl, two. What's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn. Let's stitch three, drop four. Pitch that knitting out the door right now.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this 117th episode of the Savvy Girls Podcast. It was such a pleasure chatting with you again and to be back on the show. If you would like to reach us, you can contact us through our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. You can find us on Facebook under the Savvy Girls Podcast. We are on Twitter as Savvy Girls PCast. And of course, you can find us on Ravelry through our Savvy Girls Podcast group. Or you can find me, Deborah, as Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie as Savvy Girl Melanie. So until next time,
tend to your knitting, kitten.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.